here just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the program. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your calls in a little while right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. But before we get to that, I want to mention that if there is one thing preserved in the text of Scripture, it's the injunction to record God's words upon the tablet of your heart. Think back for just a moment to the early stages of the Bible. In what may well be among the most memorable of all biblical texts, we have Moses exhorting the people of God to impress the words of the Almighty upon the tablet of their consciousness. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Above all, exhorts Moses, do not forget. And of course, Moses was not alone. Solomon, who prayed for a wise and discerning heart, implored his hearers to bind the word of God around their fingers, their necks, to write the word of God on the tablet of their hearts. And perhaps even more poignantly, the word made flesh entreated hearers, let these words sink into your ears. And then Joshua, the Jesus of the Old Testament, beseeched the people of the promise, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth, meditate on it day and night, so that you might be careful to do everything written in it, then you'll be prosperous and successful. And I've said this many times on the show, meditation is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. And we are so committed to the principles encapsulated in the Word of God, the principles that I just now enunciated, that we are making available all this month for your gift, a book that I am deeply impressed with. And the reason I'm impressed with this book is it is practical, it is insightful, it exhorts you and helps you meditate upon the Word of God. Indeed, make it part of the warp and woof of who you are. And it does it in bite-sized chunks. Again, available for your gift all this month, the Joshua Code. And of course, that comes from the very passage I just quoted, Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. And we talk about meditation, we talk about mining the Word of God, we talk about memorizing the Word of God, but how many times do we really put good tools in people's hands so that they can actually make that practice something that is realistic? So when they face the exigencies of life, they're prepared. Well, the Joshua Code does that, written by my friend O.S. Hawkins. It is a treasure. It's beautifully packaged, very useful, and something that you need in your home today, not only for yourself, but for your children. This is axiomatic to Christian living. You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. In fact, the author of the book joins me right now on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Good to have you on the broadcast again, O.S.
Thank you, Hank, and it's a joy to be with you and appreciate what all you had to say. I know your hearers don't need to hear this because they are awfully loyal to you, but just listening to you reminds me of the many, many times we've been together across the years, and how no matter what subject comes up, Hank Hanegraaff always brings us right back to the Word of God, and for that I thank God for you, especially in a day when too many of our peers are, as Stott used to say, are seeming to sacrifice revelation on the altar of relevancy.
Wow. Well, thank you, O.S. And again, I am so appreciative of this book. The more I've gotten involved with it, the more I've gotten other people involved with it over the last few weeks, the more significant I feel like what we're doing at the beginning of this year really is. Scripture memorization, and you know this as well as anybody, is a lost art, but it is so necessary. I just visited a friend of mine in Southern California, had a massive heart attack, was in a coma, came out of the coma, and the thing that's sustaining him now is what he memorized before he went into the coma.
Right. Wow. Absolutely. You know, it's amazing. You know, I awakened to the fact when writing this book of the fact that how many good and godly Christian people faithful to their church and to ministries that God had called them to, yet all of a sudden realize that they haven't memorized a verse of Scripture in years, though in previous days they used to. And it's something that's so beneficial to be able to take the Word of God with us everywhere without carrying our Bibles.
What was beautiful, the first week we got very involved in the very first text that opens the Bible.
Right.
And this week, we're involved in the text that all of us have some inkling about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, the famous John 3:16. But what I love about what you've done with this, O.S., is you've taken every phrase and made it meaningful, so it's not just a amalgamation of words, but it's understanding the essence of what is being communicated in this text.
Right, Hank. And what I believe about, what helps me in Scripture memory, when I memorize a verse phrase by phrase, which I think is the way we should do it, is to really have the biblical background behind each phrase. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs that every word of God is pure. And every word in the Bible has such power and such meaning. And if we can just capture each of those phrases, then, for example, what you just mentioned, John 3:16, salvation's whole cause is wrapped up in the first verse, in the first phrase. For God so loved the world, He loved the world so much that He gave us eternal life. And then, of course, its cost is that He gave His only begotten Son. There's a condition to it: whosoever believeth in Him, and what a consequence, shall not perish but have everlasting life.
And of course, next week we're going to be focused on Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And one of the things I wanted to get your take on, O.S., is so often at the beginning of the year, people get involved in a practice of reading through the Word of God, and I'm all for that. I have a legacy reading plan that helps people not just read the Bible in bits, but read the Bible as a collection of books and get to understand the real essence, the overview, what's being communicated in the book. So that's something that I preach. It's something that I practice. It's something that I'm very committed to. But the reason I'm so excited about the Joshua Code is I think in an age of information overload, sometimes we never have the chance to meditate upon the words. It's like information overload washes over us. But what you're doing is giving us bite-sized chunks week by week. We can spend a whole week on it, not only memorizing it, but meditating it on it, making it part of who we are. And I think that's the beauty of this book. I mean, you have 52 weeks, but it's so doable. Next week, we're into a verse that most of us are familiar with. The week after that, a very seminal verse in Scripture. But it's doable, and we can reflect, ponder, very much like Mary did when she pondered the words of the angel.
Right. And as you know, that word just means she's stirred it up like you're, you know, simmering something in a pan and just stirred it and pondered it. And you're right, Hank. Most of us have read through the Word of God, and I still challenge people to do that. But I found myself doing it, and even when I would do it chronologically with a chronological Bible or different translations through the year, I would find myself pressed to make sure I read those six or eight chapters every day and everything. And so often I would find myself just reading them to get that done and not being able to sit there and hold it in my heart and let it just incarnate into my thinking process so that you know what happens to me when I'm memorizing scripture is I'll wake up in the middle of the night and it'll be on my mind. You're just thinking about it, as you quoted Moses earlier in the day, when you walk with your children in the way, wherever you are, it becomes a part of your existence in life.
And this is not optional. I mean, the reason I started the program as I did OS is because the Bible makes clear that memorization is not optional. A lot of people think, well, this is an extra. This is something that every Christian ought to be doing. It's not enough to have the Word of God on a common tablet. It has to be on the very tablet of our consciousness.
Absolutely, Hank. It certainly does. And, you know, I appreciate you talking about the practical nature of it, because I wrote this book in such a fashion that an experienced believer, I trust, can still glean and a lot of, hopefully, not just knowledge, but inspiration from it. But that someone who's one of the great things about it is we're finding that people are giving it to family and friends that they want to see get in the Word of God, but have never read the Word, have no idea where to begin, wouldn't have a conception of it, and yet these 52 scripture verses that everyone ought to know are so concise, so bite-sized that anyone can take this. And what we hope it does is whet a want to in people's lives to really be like the prophet who said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became the joy and rejoicing of my heart."
So many of the things that we do in life depend on fundamentals. If you play golf, it's about ball position, it's about stance, it's about swing plane, basic things. But that same thing is true when you memorize the Word of God. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about the book, is there are some very simple but basic understandings that we have to have in terms of how we memorize the Word of God. And one of those basics that you allude to in the introduction to the book, you mentioned this on Friday's show, is this whole notion of inflection, where you read phrases with inflection. Cash that out for us.
Yeah, well, you take that verse you mentioned a moment ago, John 3:16, a verse that if anybody's memorized a verse of Scripture, most people have memorized John 3:16. But when you really take that, and one of the ways I meditate on it is to do what you just said, is to inflect a different word every time. You know, for God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, or for God so loved the world, or for God so loved the world, that for God so loved the world that He gave, and just a different word every time, and you get so much meaning. You know, as a pastor for decades, one of the ways that analytically outlines of the text would come to me was be through that measure of inflection. And another real key was that word "that." Every time you see that word "that" in a verse, you ought to ask yourself whatever's coming next is really powerful.
Well, yeah, and you know, I want you to just hammer this point. I mean, you're one of the, in Christianity, you're one of the great communicators. You're a great writer. And yet you're taking these simple steps. I want you to really hammer or drive that point home. Whether you're a great communicator, I mean, it's still about following these basic principles and steps.
You know, it's so basic that right after I became a Christian, I mentioned on an earlier program that the first verse I ever memorized was 1 Corinthians 10:13. But I also, as a young believer at age 17, didn't even know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were books of the Bible, could count on one hand how many times I'd been to church in my life, and that was midnight mass on a Christmas Eve with my Catholic relatives. And someone, after I was converted to Christ, someone shared with me three verses. I put them in the flyleaf of my Bible, and they've been in every flyleaf of every Bible since then. In fact, I put it in chapter 25 in the Joshua Code. It's three verses that everybody ought to know. You know, and three questions really that we all ought to ask. We all get to Temptation's Corner from time to time, or something comes along. But there are three questions we ought to always ask. One of them is, can I thank God for it? Because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Can I thank God for it? Secondly, can I do it in Jesus' name? Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And the third question, can I do it for God's glory? Because 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, we do it all to the glory of God. If we'd ask ourselves those three questions, if I do this, can I thank God for it? Can I do it in Jesus' name? And can I do it for God's glory? It might make a difference in some of the decisions we make.
O.S. Hawkins, and we hope to have you back on the Bible Answer Man broadcast in the near future. Again, thank you for your work. And if you don't have the Joshua Code, order today on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion for your gift. Again, equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with answers to your questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Committing God's Word to memory isn't just a good idea, it's a biblical imperative. Moses, Solomon, Joshua, and Jesus Himself enjoin us to fix the words of the Almighty in our consciousness. That's why we're offering Hank's favorite new book on scripture memorization, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know by the renowned speaker and apologist Dr. O.S. Hawkins, in appreciation for your gift of ministry support this month. Strengthen your memorization or start for the very first time. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to request your copy today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Director Peter Jackson is making not one, but three films based on The Hobbit, J.R.R. Tolkien's classic prequel to The Lord of the Rings. If, as Tolkien's son Christopher accuses, Jackson is commercializing the story, it would reek with irony, because The Hobbit is above all a story about greed and the overcoming of greed. Other topics include the troubling truth about Bonhoeffer's theology, Prometheus, finding God in outer space, communicating truth through humor, ridicule, and emotions, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Our faith is under more intense attack than ever, and the only way to stay strong is to immerse oneself in God's Word, to mine it, meditate on it, and memorize it. Now, well-known speaker and apologist O.S. Hawkins will help you memorize and mine 52 of the Bible's most crucial verses in his new book, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. The Joshua Code is our thank you for your gift of ministry support this month. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. And thank you. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to your calls now. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up, Randall listening in Richmond, British Columbia. Hi, Randall.
Oh, hi, Hank. I'm just a new listener. I really like your show, actually, because I think you really explain things well. You seem to have a knack for it.
Thank you.
So I just have one question regarding what I heard earlier from another caller. You were elaborating on how the believers make God the center of the universe and of their universe, and then but the Satan does not make. He makes himself the center of the universe. So I'm wondering what is wrong with making yourself the center of the universe. Just so you know, I'm not an anti-theist. I am an atheist. I'm just really curious, and this is a serious question.
Yeah, no, it's a very good question, Randall. And I would say that if you have an atheistic worldview, in some sense, I would find very little wrong with making yourself the center of the universe. I think that's a logical step to take. But if you have a Christian worldview, a worldview in which you recognize that the universe is an effect that requires a cause equal to or greater than itself, then I think it's foolhardy to suggest that you are the center of the universe, because obviously the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence is the one who is due all reverence, all worship, all honor and all praise. And that is part and parcel of a biblical worldview. So the question ultimately is, does the atheistic worldview correspond to reality? In other words, is it true, or does Christian theism better explain the universe in which we find ourselves? And I think that, of course, leads us to look at the evidence. And I've said this many times on the show, Randall, and maybe you've heard that in the few times you've heard the show. The Christian faith is historic and evidential, so it's never blindly accepted. It's always accepted on the basis of reason and evidence.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. It's a pretty deep answer. I'm going to have to think about that, because that's definitely not a simple explanation. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and you call me anytime. I very much appreciate you listening in.
Yeah. I'm just a new listener. I've been listening for about a week, kind of on and off as I'm driving to client sites, and it's interesting. You present well. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Randall. Appreciate your call. And of course, simple logic, I've mentioned this, dictates that the universe is not merely an illusion. It did not spring out of nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. And it has not eternally existed. The law of entropy predicts that a universe that had eternally existed would have died an eternity ago of a heat loss death. And therefore, the only philosophically plausible possibility that remains is that the universe was made by an unmade cause greater than itself, a cause worthy of our praise and adoration and worship. And by the way, the fact that something cannot be seen, of course, does not presuppose that it doesn't exist. We know that black holes, electrons, the laws of logic, the law of gravity, they all exist despite the fact that we cannot see them. And therefore, we need to recognize that the argument we can't see God, therefore he doesn't exist, upon further reflection, doesn't hold much water either. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk next to Anne listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada as well, CHRB. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I'm kind of troubled right now. I know a couple who are dating. They're both Christians, and I love them both very much, but I see some issues. The one party is very strong-willed and told me that they're in control of the relationship. This person doesn't celebrate Christmas or Easter to the extent of no Christmas Eve services, no Good Friday services, etc., because it's all paganism. The other party does celebrate Christmas and Easter, but is looking at everything right now through rose-colored glasses. You know, it'll be okay. But to me, these are really red flags. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked. Is this spiritually unequally yoked?
Well, no. And the reason I would say no is that we see as Christians that there are a core set of essential Christian doctrines by which we are united. These are the essentials of the historic Christian faith. They're the main and the plain things, if you will. But there are secondary issues, and those are issues that we can debate vigorously, iron sharpening iron. And I think the kinds of things that you've mentioned may fall into the category of secondary issues as opposed to essential issues. Now, that does not mean that those issues are not important, but they're not deal breakers in terms of this notion of being unequally yoked. Being equally yoked means that we adhere to the very essentials upon which the gospel of Jesus Christ is founded. Those essentials that have been the North Star by which the Christian church has set its sail. The essentials that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cult. So I think essential Christian doctrine is what unites us as believers. The other things are issues that we debate and we learn from one another in the context of that debate.
Okay, because the one party says that they're in control of the relationship, what they say goes, and so the other person's just following along, and they don't talk about godly values or anything like that. They're just, the one person is just following along because they're in la-la land, and they just figure, oh, well, this person, you know, I finally found someone that has likes me, and so I just got to go with everything. And so I see the person that's following along has been drifting away from their family.
Well, and I think that's an altogether different issue. I think it's a very substantive issue and a very important issue. We're called in the relationship that we have with one another to nurture and cherish, to love, not to dictate. And this mutual submission idea that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5 is to give up one's rights for one another. That's the essence of true love. And the essence of true love within the context of that commitment means that one does not lord it over the other, but in meekness and reverence gives themselves to the other person.
Okay. Yeah, because I've talked to the other person, the one that says they're in control, and that person says, I'm the boss of this relationship. And I'm like, this is not right. And I said, do not, you know, talk, you know, the Bible says we submit to one another and that the man will have to be, you know, should be the head of the home, etc. And no, I'm in control. What I say goes.
Yeah. Sounds like an unhealthy relationship, but maybe you can be the balm of Gilead in their lives.
Okay.
Bless you, Anne. Thank you for your call.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Cole, listening in Lincoln, Nebraska on Bot Radio. And by the way, again, the number to dial to get your question answered live on the broadcast today, 888-ASK-HANK. Hi, Cole.
Hi, Hank. It's nice to talk to you again. I was just, I had listened to a pastor, and he said, he gave a statistic, and it was that Christians in America gave approximately 2.3 or 2.4% of their money to tithing, you know, and giving in general. And I thought, my goodness, you know, where are we at really with that? And, you know, I have only had my best times in my life, and I have to say that I have fallen backwards, but when I have given, have I tithed and listened to the Lord and given money where I believe it is a good place, like yours, and I have given you money. Not saying you have given you money. I've given the program, the missions that you do, money. But I made a kind of a mistake the other day, and I just wanted to ask you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay, I was sitting down, and I had inherited some money. So I thought, you know what? It's a gift from God, and it's not really any money that I need, per se. So I was thinking about Hank Hanegraaff. I was thinking about Food for the Poor, for different programs, and I don't want to go into all of them, but, and I'm not patting myself on the back. But I got a phone call right in the interim of that, right while I was doing that, and it was from this program about saving people in northern Sudan, and it happened to be Rod Parsley. And I donated some money to Rod Parsley's program of pulling people. And I said, well, how do you get these slaves back that are taken, you know, and how do you do that? And they said, well, we just buy them back like they are bought in the first place. I said, really? Like somebody goes in there and takes like thousands of dollars and buys these people back? And they told me that, yeah, that's how they do it. And it seemed kind of funny, but, you know, I'm not saying I gave a whole lot of money, but I probably gave too much money. Probably giving anything was too much because I researched it after the fact when I should have researched it before the fact.
Yeah, and we learn from our mistakes. It sounds like that's precisely what you're doing.
Can you tell me something about Rod Parsley? Can you tell me something about him? Because I researched him, but it looks like he's just a faith word minister, basically.
Yeah, he is, and he is consistently guilty of text abuse. In lockstep with other word of faith teachers, he's committed to the notion that God cannot do anything in the earth realm apart from the word of man. And therefore, he emphatically declares that, why does God say, ask of me? Why does he say that? Well, because he can't do it on his own. He can't get what he wants on his own because he placed you in authority on this earth. And he says that very emphatically over and over again. Of course, the very passage that he alludes to in the process is a passage that makes precisely the opposite point. In fact, God laughs at the vain notion that mere men can supplant his wisdom and authority upon the earth. But again, the systemic problem in his teaching is that he holds that faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. It is also very sad that he uses a whole host of cons and cover-ups to manipulate people into giving money. And again, hopefully some of that money will be put to good use, but I think that you're making a very good point in asking the question. That is, we should do our research, just as if we were going to invest in a company on Wall Street. We want to make sure that it is a solid, reliable company so that our investment is well placed, as opposed to putting it in some kind of a scam company that has no real basis for existing, is what happened during the dot-com bubble. But I appreciate your call. Good question. I've written about Rod Parsley and pastors like Rod Parsley in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, which is available through the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can talk to our resource consultants, that number 888-7000, and the letters CRI. And a quick note as we go to break, if you have not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, a brand new issue of the journal out right now, check it out on the web. Again, that's equip.org.
You know scripture memorization matters, but it can seem overwhelming. Let CRI help you with the Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know, by renowned speaker and apologist O.S. Hawkins. Each week for a year, you'll memorize another crucial verse with Hawkins' memorization tips and exposition to help it sink into your heart and mind. The Joshua Code is our gift in appreciation for your ministry support this month. Your support helps produce more of the broadcast you rely on. So call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment with more of the answers you need today. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent New Testament translations intended for Muslims avoid familial language for the Trinity, such as Father and Only Begotten Son. Wycliffe and other mission field Bible translators worry that such terms scandalize Muslim readers, so they've produced Muslim idiom translations that avoid such renderings. But such compromise in translation is neither warranted nor wise. Other topics include A Thief in the Night, the Christian ethic at the heart of The Hobbit, Can Cloud Atlas Give True Hope for a Better World, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Even with the Bible available on our cell phones and laptops, scripture memorization is still the best way to carry God's Word with you at all times. Ready to meditate on it and share when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise, as God directs in Deuteronomy 6:7. So nurture your memorization with the new book by renowned pastor and speaker O.S. Hawkins, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. Hawkins' tips and deep exposition will help each verse impact your life forever. The Joshua Code is our thank you for your gift to support more Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resources. Your generosity helps bring God's Word into thousands of homes every day. So please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read articles to help you learn and defend the faith. So go to equip.org/app and download this free app today. Again, that's equip.org/APP. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Clint, listening in Glenpool, Oklahoma, listening up by radio. Hi, Clint.
Hi, Hank. I was wanting to ask you some questions about fasting.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us not to fast openly where everyone can see. I was wondering, are we supposed to try to hide fasting from our wives and children, or is that just maybe outside the household?
No, it's not the point of the passage at all. The point of the passage is, and you're talking, and specifically here, I think about the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is pointing out that we should not do what we do in order to receive the praise or approval of people, but rather for our Heavenly Father. So it's not as though you can't let your family see what you're doing or others see what you're doing, but you shouldn't do it for their approval. In other words, it's very much in the same vein as when Jesus talks about giving or when he talks about praying. Don't do it to be seen by men. In other words, Jesus here is going to the heart of your motivation. Why are you doing this? Are you doing this for outward appearances, or are you doing it for the right reason? And that is, in the case of fasting, to seek out God, to focus on spiritual things, to remind yourself of your own weakness and your complete dependence on God. So motivation, your heart motive, is what Christ is driving at. You know, the same thing is true here, by the way, when Jesus talks about judging. On the one hand, Jesus says, do not judge in the Sermon on the Mount, but later on, he says, judge. Now, which is it? Don't judge or judge? Well, again, Jesus provides a context. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't judge self-righteously or hypocritically. When he says to judge, he's talking about judgments that should be made, but always by a right standard. So no contradiction. The context provides the way of looking at how judgment should take place.
Okay. And that brings up another question that I had that I've come up recently is when someone is up for parole on a, you know, a serious crime that they'd had before and they're up for parole, is it okay to sign a petition to not let that person be released, or should we just keep our noses out of that?
No, it depends on the context. I mean, I think we should be involved in those things that God brings along our path. So, for example, if God brings a poor person into my path that has a real need, an immediate need, now I have an obligation to respond to that need, and I have to do so in an appropriate fashion. I had to take into consideration all the converging factors that I can. Is this person really in need, or is this person going to take what I give them and go to a bar? I have to think about this logically. I have to be careful and prudent in the decision I make, but I'm faced with making a decision. I think in your particular situation, this may be a situation that you have some knowledge about. If you do have knowledge about this situation, then you have an obligation to be prudent and judicious in the decision that you make.
Okay. So if you don't have enough information, then you should stay out of it then, right? If someone just comes to me and asks me to sign a petition, well, I don't know if this man has been healed and if he is okay to be back in society or not, or...
Yeah, you have a responsibility to make your decisions informed decisions, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Phyllis next, listening in North Carolina, WHVN. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Excuse me. I'm a little out of breath. Had to run and get to bear with me. My question is so important to me, and I hope probably maybe to others also. It's about on the subject of alternative medicine specifically. The question that at least several I've heard healthcare professionals claim is that the body has energy pathways. Excuse me, just as it has blood vessels. The Chinese call the pathways meridians, and is the qi, which is the meridian flow, the inner and energy.
The key, yes.
Via these pathways. And then there is at least two pastors that I've heard that declare there absolutely is no energy pathway through the body, that the only thing is the blood. The blood has to do with everything to make it everything accomplished is through the blood. And, of course, I believe in the Lord and the redemptive work that he did for us at Calvary, claim that, and the blood sacrifice and the divine, that divine blood that he shed for us, and all that propitiation for our sins and everything he did, everything hinged on what he did, his work for us, and I just thank the Lord every day for it. But I just don't know. I'm kind of really a novice with reading the Bible. I'm ashamed to say that I'm as old as I am and had not read the Bible through, and I'm trying to get through it, and I'm kind of homebound with can't get around and have some ailments. And so right now don't really have, or except you and a couple of others like you, Momenters by radio. And but I can't seem to get in touch with anyone, and I thought perhaps you might have something to say about this.
Yeah, I do. And I think what's important is the worldview that grounds the presuppositions. And in the Hindu worldview, in the Buddhist worldview, in many Eastern worldviews, there is this notion that we can align ourselves with the cosmic energy flow of the universe, and through that we attain health and well-being. So the worldview behind this idea of qi is oftentimes, again, aligning yourself with the cosmic energy flow of the universe, and therein we experience the energy or life force that flows through meridians in the body. And if there are imbalances or there are blockages to that key, then we can't align ourselves with the universal energy force and we won't experience well-being and so forth. So the worldview there is a worldview that's inconsistent with a biblical worldview, and therein lies the problem. But that does not mean that all holistic views of well-being and health are inherently flawed. So often what we fall for in these kinds of paradigms is what I call the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie, and that's what we have to be careful. Many of these people, these practitioners, have a worldview that isn't consistent with reality. There's an article actually at our website, equip.org, and it's titled The Christian Energetic Medicine and New Age Paranoia. It's written by the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, which is our flagship magazine, Elliot Miller. And I think that article would be extraordinarily helpful to you. And if you'll hang on, I'll put it in your hands.
Sure, that'd be great. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Steve. He's listening in Midwest City, Oklahoma on Bot Radio. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Hank. We were in Bible study last week studying 1 Samuel. And in chapter 16, I believe it's verse 18, the people tell Saul that Jesse from Bethlehem has a son, David, to play the harp. Okay, and then in chapter 17, I believe it's verse 55, Saul asks who, after he slays Goliath, Saul asks, who is this man's father? Why did he not know if David was already in his service?
Well, I think the actual question in the text is, as Saul is watching David go out to meet the Philistine, he says to Abner, who's the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is that young man? In other words, Saul is getting more information about David. That's what is at issue here.
Okay.
He wants to know his background, who his father is, etc.
Right. Because I thought they said in chapter 16, they told him it was David of Bethlehem's son. Jesse of Bethlehem's son was David.
What the text says, I just looked it up. I just looked it up. It says, one of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. And then Saul sent his messengers to get David.
Right. So,
in other words, in the one passage, he hears about a solution to the problem, which is the Philistine Goliath. In the other passage, after David has demonstrated himself in terms of his bravery. Now David, Saul wants to find out more about David, wants to find out about his family background, etc. That's all that's going
on.
Okay.
Yeah. I was, I was trying to figure it out on my own. I was thinking maybe since the Lord's spirit had gone away and the evil spirit had come in, that maybe it confused him. I was just trying to figure it out on my own, and I said, well, I'll ask Hank. So I trust everything you say, Hank, so I appreciate your answer.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your call, and I don't want people to trust everything I say, but I do want everybody to test everything I say in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good. One of the fearsome things of doing what I do, quite frankly, is that people make life decisions oftentimes based not even on the main point I'm making, but a throwaway statement. And it reminds you constantly that what you are doing, you must do with fear and trembling and recognize your utter dependence on the Word of God and continue to point people back to the Word of God because, again, that is the final court of arbitration. Test all things, we're told, exhorted even in Scripture. Test all things and hold fast to the good. Again, it's one of the reasons that I have been so passionate about the Joshua Code. And it's why I started the broadcast today talking to O.S. Hawkins, the author of the Joshua Code, because what he's doing in essence is turning our hearts towards home. What is home? Well, home is the Word of God. That is where we should get our nourishment, our vitality. It's our life source. You know, we talk to God through prayer, but God talks to us through the Word of God. The beauty is that whole conversation can be not just a monologue, but a dialogue when we recognize that meditating on the Word of God becomes the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. If you don't have the Joshua Code, please get it today. If not for yourself, get it for a family member. Again, it's available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. In essence, it's killing two birds with one stone. It is supplying the fuel, the resources necessary to do what we do, which impacts literally tens of thousands of people, but it's also equipping you in those very basics of the historic Christian faith. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, where you can receive your copy in a safe, secure fashion. See you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Even with the Bible available on our cell phones and laptops, scripture memorization is still the best way to carry God's Word with you at all times, ready to meditate on it and share when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise, as God directs in Deuteronomy 6:7. So nurture your memorization with the new book by renowned pastor and speaker O.S. Hawkins, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. Hawkins' tips and deep exposition will help each verse impact your life forever. The Joshua Code is our thank you for your gift to support more Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resources. Your generosity helps bring God's Word into thousands of homes every day. So please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With sound, biblically grounded answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize format, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available in an unabridged audiobook format. Order your copy of the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.